The Shulchan Aruch begins with Hashkamas HaBokir of Shivisi Hashem LeNegdi Samid. The very first thing that is mentioned, the second line in the Shulchan Aruch mentions Shivisi Hashem LeNegdi Samid. I place the Kaddish Baruch Hu in front of me all times. The last seif in Shulchan Aruch, Hilchas Purim, is the last seif in Shulchan Aruch. That ends with Tov Lev Mishta Tami. The person who has a cheerful heart, he's a Tov Lev. So therefore, he's always, always feasting. And that's the idea, some of the Chazal say, that if a person starts off his day with Shivisi Hashem LeNegdi Samid, then he's going to be a happy person the whole day. He's going to be a Tov Lev. And life is going to make, life makes a difference. It's the big A. The big attitude is if I see Hashivisi Hashem all the time, I'm walking with God, never alone. I always have Him there. So therefore, I'm going to be a Tov Lev Mishta Tami. The Inyan of the Yoyma deal with Purim. How many times is Haman mentioned in the Megillah? Haman is mentioned, by the way, we'll come to it, but the Haman is mentioned 54 times in the Megillah. What's the significance of 54 times? There are a number of reasons given, but one is the fact that he tried to destroy the people of the 54 Sedras. We have 54 Sedras. There's some double Sedras too. And so therefore, he wanted to destroy us. He, v'nahapachu, asher yishlatu ha-Yehudim, hema v'sanehim. And that's what happened to Haman. We know there are four Parshas. Parshas Shkolim, Parshas Zohar, Parshas Para, and Parshas Achodesh. I just want to give you an opportunity not to forget it. You won't know what goes first, one goes second. The first thing in Parshas Shkolim, every Selim Elohim, every person takes a half a shekel, gives it to the Mishkan, gives it to the Beis HaMikdash to be able to pay for korbanos. He is mishtatif in that which every person is doing, and he is a person in good standing. After that, Parshas Zohar, getting rid of evil. He wants to be reminded, listen, I'm doing what I can, but there's more. And therefore, I'm going to work on Ra. The Ra certainly of Amalek, but there's Ra within me perhaps as well. And I'll work on it. Next is Parshas Parah, the idea of purifying ourselves, raising the level. I've done some work on myself, and now I want to raise the level. And finally, Parshas Chodesh is the idea of Hischachus, that a person starts something new in relationship to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that brings us right into Pesach and all that's involved. We're in Parshas Zohar that we're going to look at this coming Shabbos. Chazal say the following on these words. Here came Amalek, they traveled hundreds of miles to fight us. Hashem, and they met us on the Derech. What did they come for? Just evil spirited. They didn't come to fight for land. We weren't in our land yet. We're on the derech. Asher kocha b'derech v'yizanev b'cho kol nechshalom acharecha. They cut down the people who were at the end, the people who were having a hard time keeping up, the weak people. V'ta'oyev v'yageya. And you, the Jews, you were tired. You were weary. And then, lo yore Elohim, and they had no fear of Hashem at all. It wasn't a religious war for lo yore Elohim. It wasn't for land, it was on the derech. It wasn't to show their might and prowess as warriors. Who do they go after? The weak, oyif yogeya, people who are nechsholim, the stragglers. And therefore, what did they come for? They came just to put a suffix into the hearts and minds of the Jews. Can we really do it? We're going to go. We're leaving Eretz Mitzrayim. We haven't come to Har Sinai yet. Can we really make it? And they put a chink into the Amunah of Klal Yisrael, which they wanted to do. Reishis Goyim Amalek. They're the first ones who started up with us. And therefore, they showed other people it could happen. It's almost like what happened after 1967. In 1967, after the Seven-Day War, no one wanted to start up with the Jews. It was just in Israel. You don't fight against them. You see what happened in 67? Then all of a sudden, the Yom Kippur War started. Sure, they lost. The enemy lost. The Arabs lost the Yom Kippur War. But they showed it could happen. You could fight them. Maybe you win, maybe you lose, but you go after them. And therefore, this is what Amalek did for the first thing. It's interesting. You take the word Amalek. Ayin, Mem, Lamed, Kuf. The Ayin, Mem has the same letters. Ayin, Mem has the end of the name Bilam. Beis Lamed, Ayin, Mem. And you have the word Amalek, Lamed, Kuf. You know, Ayin, Mem, Lamed, Kuf. The Alamed Kuf is the word of Bullock. You have arch enemies of the Jews. Bilam wanted to destroy everyone. He wanted to give a nuclear curse that would destroy everybody. He was the Haman of that generation, the Hitler Yimach Shemam of that generation. The only difference is he, as far as Hitler did what he did, Haman and Bilam, thank God, were not successful in what they did. But he was no less of an evil person as such. And you have, within the word name Amalek, you have a combination of Balak, who asked Bilam to come, and Bilam as well. And we understand Haman, if he could have, was going to Lahashmid La'arag La'abid, to be able to murder, to destroy, to exterminate every single person. But again, it was Vinahapichu. In the end, we understand 75,000 of them die. And another 800 in Shushan, 500 on the first day, and 300 on the second day. But the fact is, only because of a Kaddish Baruch Hu made it possible for us to defeat that enemy, per se. Now the fact is, that, interesting, we have a mitzvah of Timcha Zecher Amalek, Mitachas HaShemayim. A Kaddish Baruch Hu says himself, in Parshas B'Shalach Emcha, I will destroy, and we're going to do it together. And we'll talk about it shortly. We'll do it together. But there's an interesting situation that occurred. I want to share to you a Maisa Shehaya, a phenomenal, phenomenal story. There was a Jewish fellow driving in New York some years ago. And as he drove, keeping the speed limit, and everything was fine, an old man, walked out into the street, and the car hit that fellow. And this older non-Jewish person died right there. They went to court. The police checked it out, homicide and all, and they saw that the fellow who was driving the car had no responsibility for this. I mean, he couldn't have possibly not hit him. Guy walked right into him. And therefore, the fellow was exonerated. But the man's a frum yid. He just bothered him. How did he come to kill a person? This was too much for him. So he came to Eretz Yisrael, and he went to see Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And you have to hear this. He explained the whole story to Reb Chaim Kanievsky. And Reb Chaim said to him, Haser daga milibcha. Don't let your heart be upset by this, he said. It says, Hare nemar mocha timcha ezekher amalek. It says you're supposed to destroy Amalek. Kiyamta mitzvah mechia. You fulfilled this mitzvah. And that was the end of it. He didn't understand what Reb Chaim meant. And if you've ever asked the Shiloh of Reb Chaim, he's always short. And you have to get it as best you can the first time. And rarely do you have a chance to go in for the second time. He's clear, but sometimes he speaks, you have to give thought to really saying. And this certainly, you're Mekayim the mitzvah, Mechias Amalek. Certainly he didn't think that all the people, non-Jewish people in New York, were parts of Amalek. But anyway, he went back home to New York and still bothered him. So his wife, after a period of time, said, let's sell our house, move out of this area. Nobody will know, that you were ever involved in anything, and let's move. You saw Reb Chaim already. He said what he said. You should take heart from that. But let's move. And sure enough, they did. And they bought the house of an older fellow who had died, and his children yarshened the house, and they sold him the house, and fine, he's there. Anyway, He's puttering now in the cellar of this house, Maisa Shahaya, and he sees a box, opens up this box, and finds in the box, very, very well, you know, everything's very, very carefully, you know, set up, pictures and documents. What are the pictures? The picture was of the man who was run over. He bought the house of the fellow who he ran over. And there has, oh, that's like, hmm. And the next thing he's looking into, and he sees all these documents, and he finds that this man was an SS man during the war. He's an SS man during the war, but it's not over yet. He went further. This fellow kept meticulous records of the people that he, the people and the cities and towns and villages that he destroyed. And he had the names of people who he actually killed. Not even killed them, he murdered them. And the man looked through and he found the name of his parents. Names of the parents and the village or town that they came from. So when Reb Chaim said, don't let this be bothering you, your Mekayim, Timcha Zechra Amolek, this is something that, you know, Emunas Chachamim. But the fact is that Emunas Chachamim, it so did happen in the time of Shaul HaMelech, when we had the opportunity to destroy Amalek then, that when Shaul was involved with Agag and the animals that were left over from the Amalek, that there were people who, at that time, Rav Sternberg says, they melted into, Amalek melted into the area and the surrounding area and therefore cannot be identified till Mashiach comes. And that's one of the tznoyim of destroying Amalek, you know, totally destroying Amalek, is going to be when Mashiach comes, because only Mashiach is able to know who is who as far as that's concerned. Purim, four mitzvahs of Purim. And along with Sudas mitzvah Purim is the mitzvah of says Rava, Mechayiv Enish Lepsumi Bepurya Adelo Yada Bein Oruhaman Uborach Mordechai. The Gemara brings down immediately after that the saying of Rava. The Gemara brings down the Maisa of Rabba and Reb Zeira and mentions that Rabba and Reb Zeira had a Purim suit together. They became drunk and Rabba shechted Reb Zeira. And then he was mispowel for Reb Zeira the next day that he should be healed, come back to life, and he did. And when Reb Zeira was given the opportunity the following year to come back to eat the Purim Suda with Rabba, he said, Lo, b'chol shayti yisrachish nisa. Every year you don't get a miracle. He didn't go back. However, the Marsha says that actually didn't happen as actually shechting him. Never could happen. Instead, that Reb Zeira got very sick. Rabba insisted he drink, and he drank, and he got very sick. And therefore, he was ke'ilu, since it went down his throat. It uses the lashon of shechita, but the truth is, he didn't do that. But it was bad enough in that respect. So much so that Rabbeinu Ephraim, that's brought down in the Bach and Shulchan Aruch, says, from here you see that the halacha is not chayv adam lipsumi to that extent, because the mice is brought down right after Rava says, Chayvarinish Lipsumi, and then this particular incident is brought down to show that this is not the derech the people should follow to that extent. And interestingly enough, you see in the Rambam that the Rambam doesn't say it that way. The Rambam actually says that a person should drink and he gets shikr and falls asleep. But it doesn't go to the extent that Rava said in the Gemara. There are people we know who follow it through. And I want to talk about it for a moment. There's a halachic shiloh that came up. A person got very, very drunk on Purim, and this Reb Zilberstein brings it down in his Svarim, and he just after getting drunk, fell on the sidewalk. And nobody could move him. Nobody could move him. And the people thought, God forbid, maybe, you know, he's suffering from who knows what, from drinking. And an ambulance was called. He was taken to the hospital. He woke up the next day. Baruch Hashem, he was okay. And what happened to him? He, you know, fine, he's okay. Shiloh was, He was shocked. He now had a big bill to pay. Who's going to pay for the ambulance? So he refused to pay. And it, when he wanted, he said, listen, I didn't ask to go to the hospital. And you know, and of course, I feel, how did I get here? So-and-so sent you. He said, well, let him pay. So, of course, it went to Besdin. And I'm not going to mention to you what Besdin said. You know, in that case, anyway, I have to mention. In fact, of course he had to pay. It's never partial. Because any normal person would do the same thing to save somebody else. Another person was on a bus. He was leaving from B'nai Brak to go to Yerushalayim. B'nai Brak is going to have Purim on Thursday. This person wanted to, you know, this year of Thursday, and he wanted to join us on Friday to be able to have Erev Shabbos, to have Shushan Purim. And so he decided going to Yerushalayim. But he fell asleep in the back of the bus because he had drunk so much. So the fact is, the bus went around and in Yerushalayim and came back to B'nai Brak. When he woke up, he found that he was back in B'nai Brak. Shaila, does he have to pay for the round trip? Or is it just he only wanted to go to Yerushalayim? Now he went from Yerushalayim back to the B'nai Brak. Is he chayiv to pay for it? Reb Zilberstein says that he should pay for it as such. Okay? And the last of this type of thing is that a person was drunk, quite drunk, and he called up his friend and he said, I didn't give Matanas Levyonim. And he said, give 500 shekel here, 500 shekel here, 500 shekel here. You know what's coming. So now, a day later, he wakes fine. He doesn't wake up yet. He's okay. So what happens? A week later, the friend sees, he gave up the money, of course, and if he sees that the person who asked him to do it didn't call him to make arrangements to repay him. He goes back, he says, you know, what's up? You asked me, I don't remember. Shaila is, he doesn't remember, but the fact is he mechuyev to repay his friend since they can't get the money back from Stalker? Is he mechuyev to do that? That's a shaila too. That's a little more, that happens to be a little more complicated. I want to tell you a different story about drinking on Purim. Years ago, near Israel, a boy, about between 16 and 17 years old, was drinking, and he passed out. His friends took him upstairs and put him on a bed. As they put him on a bed, he was out cold. Put him on a bed, his head hit a radiator. It's a radiator flush with the bed. So when they put him down on the bed, the head hit the radiator and he started to bleed. Well, what are you bleeding? Everybody got nervous. They picked him up. And they took him down the stairs, second floor. Took him down. And because he was dead weight, so to speak, they dropped him down the stairs. They dropped him down the stairs. And finally got him to the hospital. And Baruch Hashem, he had stitches. And was taken back to the yeshiva and woke up next day on the floor. And bad headache. But thank God he was okay. And etc. So what a bit... He found out later on that by drinking so much, he could have had cardiac arrest. Didn't realize. He's a kid. Drinking, could have had cardiac arrest, and that was it. The P.S. on this thing is, besides, I feel probably the Chil Hashem Shabbat, and something like that, is the fact is, I am that boy. I'm the boy. And, I look back at that and say to myself, so it said, this at least I'm giving you secondhand information because I don't remember. But they told me about it. I wasn't pleased about it. But the point I'm making to you is sometimes a good kid could make a mistake like that, and God forbid, who knows, what the totsos on Purim of something like that could be. Now, the fact is that before a person even dreams of going into something like this, and has to say, Ezu Chacham Harayas Anoilin, what could happen? When I went through that, did I realize? No, not at all. Just like these other guys didn't realize when he's giving out, asking, money to be paid, or this one is the key business is, I don't have to spell out to you. You guys are smart enough in all this. The interesting thing I mentioned, the Rambam himself differed. He did not give the Psak Halacha like Rava. So therefore, even the Shaila, now, although it's brought down in Shulchan Aruch as such, but the fact is, the Ramah says the following, and everybody is very aware of it. Yesh omrim de ein tzarech l'shtake kol kach. One doesn't have to drink that much. Ela yishte yosim limudo. You drink more than you used to, and then go to sleep. And from that period, you don't know the difference between Or HaHaman and Baruch Mordechai. The Shartzion says that the gematria of Or HaHaman and Baruch Mordechai, the gematria is to 502. You have to work it out mathematically. But if a person gets high enough so he doesn't remember how do I get to 502? That's enough. He's yaitza in this respect. Tosfos on the daf that we speak about, Chayav Adam Lipsumi, he says the following. The song that used to be, we say, Baruch Mordechai, Or HaHaman, Baruch Mordechai. So he says that wasn't all that was there. There was Or HaHaman, Baruch Mordechai. Arura Zeresh, Brucha Esther. Arura Kol HaRashayim, Brucha Kol HaYehudim. Just as we sing it too when we do Shoshanas Yaakov. That was harder to remember. So even though a person said, well, I don't have to drink something, how much do I have to drink in order not to remember Or HaHaman, Baruch Mordechai? But in the Chanami, the person has to drink an awful lot. But to know all the rest of this song, doesn't have to drink that much. Some say there was also a song that used to be sung in rounds. It started off with Or HaHaman, Baruch Mordechai. Then sometime it changed. It would say first Baruch Mordechai, Or HaHaman. He had to keep cup. A person drinks too much, so therefore he doesn't keep cup anymore. But the key business is that there are many, many, many heterim to be able to go. And as we say, echad amar be'echad amamid lovach yehesheh, whatever he does is l'shem shemayim. The fact is, again, is as all the poskim say, a person has to be very, very careful to be able to bench well, to be able to make his brachas well, to make sure he doesn't miss marav, and all the things that he's doing in order to be able to keep whatever mitzvahs that he's doing. The Nesivah Shalom says a beautiful, beautiful idea, and it is chayv inish lepsumid b'puriyah. A person should be drunk. He says you must get drunk on Purim, but not on wine, on Purim. It doesn't say chayv inish lipsumi b'yayin b'puriyah. What's Purim? He says Purim is the destruction of Amalek. Purim is the fact, the realization that we were left alive and our enemies died. Purim is the fact that we were mekabel Torah bi'ahava. That's enough to be able to send anybody into the stratosphere, into the ionosphere, and to keep going. That's what a person should get drunk on as such. And he goes through quite a bit. You know, I figure, I'm to myself, I say, gee, of all the, so many mitzvahs that deal with the mitzvahs hayom, and this one seems to be a mitzvah that so many people get involved in and all that. I wonder why. But the fact is that that's the way it is, and you have to go with the flow to be able to address the inyanim over here. But we see so many of Chazal have done this as such. Am I firmer than the Ramah? Am I going to do it better than the Rambam, etc.? Listen, I got my, so to speak, my real lesson years and years ago. Thank God, and still I can still be standing here as such with you. There is, within getting away from this, I want to share one other idea about Purim, but you have to listen well to be able to handle this. Rav Weissmandel was the forerunner of the codes. Rav Weissmandel, who was a Rav who lived through the Holocaust, looked into Chumash, and he saw various patterns, and he saw clearly the Yad Hashem internally in the Chumash. So that once when he had somebody who was at his home, he said to the fellow whose name is Yaakov Mordechai Greenwald. This is Rav Weissmandel spoke to him after the Second World War and said to him, do you know how many letters are in the Megillah? Letters, not words, letters. So Rabbi Greenwald said, you know, of course not. He said, there are 12,196. This is Rav Weissmandel. 12,196. So Rav Greenwald said, well, what do you do with that? So Rav Weissmandel said to him, I do this. Remember, this is before computers. He said, start with the name Esther. Esther. You go Aleph. The first Aleph that you find in Chumash. Take a Chumash, go Aleph. And count 12,196, and you come to a samach. And then from samach, count another 12,196, and then you come to tuf. And then you go count another 12,196, and you come to resh. So interesting that Esther was foretold in the Chumash in this way, based on the letters. Fine. So this Rabbi Greenwald said to him jokingly, what about Mordechai? He's going to, leave Mordechai out. She said, come back to me next year. Next year, Rabbi Greenwald comes back to him, and Rabbi Weissmandel says, now, the Gemara in Chulin says, Mordechai min HaTorah minayin. And the Gemara takes us to a Pasuk, in Perek Tesvav, Pasuk Tesvav in Shmos. And it says over there, in the Loshen, Kach lecha besamim rosh, mor dror. From mor dror, which the Targum says over there, is mera dochya. But mor dror is a type of spice. It's like a beautiful spice. More, he says, if you go from mem, of that mor dror, count 12,196, you come to a resh. Another, you get the idea over here. Go from resh, another 12,196, a dalet. Tell another, chaf, and then another yud. That's Mordechai. Before computers, revised model. You see what a genius. More than a genius. Now, so this fellow, Rabbi Greenwald and his wife, had a girl over their house who was in seminary, smart girl, and she was in computers years later. And she was having problems dealing in seminary. She didn't believe in Torah Shabbat. She didn't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim. Didn't believe in Torah Min HaShemayim. And she's having problems with all her various rebellion in the Moros and the seminary. And that's why they sent her to Rabbi Greenwald and his wife. You know, she'll have a chance to air out and be able to talk about things in a non-threatening situation. And he thought, Min HaShemayim, he thought about this situation, Mordechai and Esther, and he said, and he told her about it. And she, who especially liked computers, listened well. And that night, he says, when he repeats what happened, she stayed up the whole night. Next morning, she looked very tired. And then she told them that she was working on a computer the whole night to see statistically the probability of randomly being able to go and find Esther and Mordechai through those steps of 12,196 letters. I mean, it's daunting even to think how he could go through 12,196 letters in the Megillah. I can't even keep my head open to get the 54 names of Haman, as they hit. I've tried so many times till I saw it written and to be able to keep cup to see, these goes through all those letters, 12,196. So she said she couldn't find the probability, impossible. According to probability, you cannot find it randomly. There has to be some design. There has to be some plan, some purpose, something there, guiding it there. No way. Fine, okay. She wasn't that emphatic, but that was... So what happened? He says, some years later, he's at a chasna, and somebody says, Rabbi Greenwald. He turns around, he's a woman. He says, I don't recognize you. She says, I'm Esther in Mordechai. A frum woman. She says, my husband goes to Kollel. The kids are in yeshiva. And that's it. And that came from this. So the fact is, when we keep ourselves focused, and we do it the right way, following what Chazal spell out for us, there's no question that the Megillah, every part of it and everything, brings us that much closer to Hashem. The key of everything is Dveikus B'Hashem, and halavai we should do all that during Purim in the best oifen. That Tov Lev Mishta Tom. And that's when Shvisi Hashem L'Negdi Samin. Have a good day.